Hello, everybody. Wake up. No more backwards thinking times of thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world to Bring Back the Family. I am your host, Kathy Clyburn, for Bring Back the Family, and I am happy and so glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims of not helping later. First, we want to acknowledge God with a scripture and a prayer. And we have our co-host, Jacqueline Vandergriff, and Rebecca Johnson here to assist us in doing what they do. And, you know, I appreciate them so much because, you know, I know that this thing is Bring Back the Family is God-centered because, and it was ordained by him because he brought people along to help me because I could not do this by myself. I couldn't. And even though I started it, you know, he brought me just some faithful people that have the same mindset to want to be able to help these youth and care about them and give them some of the things and that we had when we were coming up. So with further ado, we're going to have Miss Jackie bring us the scripture. And then following her will be Rebecca Johnson.
Well, Ms. Clyburn, welcome Hi. Again to your hard work and endeavors and other co-hosts, Sister Pierce, Sister Johnson, and our special guest and our audience. I would like to thank you. So moving on, I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourself. Measuring yourself by the faith God has given us, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confidence, hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Vandegrift, and good evening, everyone. Let us pray. Precious Lord, the great manufacturer of humans, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. Thank you that you woke us up again this morning. Thank you for your grace and mercy and power. Thank you that you see each of us, Lord. Thank you that you know everything in advance. We thank you for Pastor O and his wisdom to produce this show. We thank you for Sister Deaconess Kathy for her sacrifices and contributions to give care and assistance to the children on her block. We thank you that your work through her inspires each of us to make our own sacrifices. And we ask you to give us the power to be effective as you show us ways we can help on our blocks to nurture and protect children in need and right the wrongs we see in our neighborhoods today. We ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing that you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We thank you and ask for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Vandegrift and Sister Johnson. We appreciate you guys so much. Pastor O is getting some rest, so we will hear from him next week. We all need some rest, and so it's his time to take a break, and him and his wife are taking a little break, and that's good for them. Okay. The children are our future. I like in that scripture it says, love. Don't just pretend to love. Really love. Really love. And so if our youth and people see us loving, somebody has to start this thing all over again. The love, showing love, showing the kids love, showing the youth love, showing each other love, loving, you know, each other, husband and wife, you know, sisters and brothers, friends, family, just everybody just showing some kind of love. And be genuine with it. Don't just, you know, say you love them. Really love people. And like they say, love makes the world go round, okay? Because the children are our future. We need to teach them well and let them lead the way. We're the leaders, and they are the future leaders. So how can they lead if we don't teach them how? Show them the way. Prepare them to carry on. You know, they're the next generation, okay? All of our decisions should be based on them, the next generation. All of our decisions should be based on the next generation. It's calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. Whose responsibility is it? And what are we going to do to make up in our minds to do? And are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges, the changes, support, and the sacrifice? It's a sacrifice. And just meeting people, meeting our youth where they are in order to make a difference in this world. Who is willing? Who is willing? You know, we know what to do because we've made it. We're here, and we're going through life daily, every day. And so what is our contribution back? What is our sacrifice? What is our contribution to God going to be before we leave here? What are we going to do for God before we leave here? What is it? Are we going to leave this place better than the way we received it? What's our contribution and what's our sacrifice? Because life is truly a sacrifice. We have to sacrifice to do everything. Everything is a sacrifice. So who's going to be in charge of the next generation? Passing the torch and running the race. Doing great things because we pair our youth to do it. Okay? We could do this. Who did it for us? Our parents did it for us. They were focused, spent time, quality time, so that we wouldn't be a nuisance, okay? Okay? So that we wouldn't be a nuisance to the next generation. We were the next generation. And so we didn't want, our parents didn't want us to be a nuisance to the community. They didn't want us to be a nuisance. They wanted us to be good, productive citizens, okay? They didn't want us running around terrorizing people and making our community bad or spending time in places that we shouldn't be, you know. Being put in the chicken wing, as you say. It's a better word for it. So I'm going to tell you about Bring Back the Family. Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around the world. And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation is parents and community comes from me and you. It comes from me and you. We all have a responsibility, okay, to give them a good foundation. It was done for us. Someone did it for us. So we have to do the same. We have to do the same and do it for them so that they can have what they need to make it, so that they could be good for the citizens. That's all. That's all. So that when they go out in public, they know how to act. They know how to conduct themselves. I don't know how you all feel about, you know, what's going on around the world and the education and the well-being and safety of our youth. You know, I'm tired, but I don't tire when it comes to helping and supporting our youth, okay? We're all tired because we're working jobs and we're sacrificing and doing other things to make sure that our homes and our families are taken care of, okay? And, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy, but when I think of all the needs and see the needs of the youth all around us. Just with the 10 or 12 kids that Bring Back the Family work with, you know, I'm just seeing, you know, the big light, the big picture is that our kids, they are so behind. They're so far behind. And the days and the weeks and the months, they go so fast. They really go fast. And it seems like it keeps us further behind because we have a lot of catching up to do in order to catch up. There's so many areas that the youth are lacking in. And, you know, it gets discouraging to me, but helping encourages me, okay? I look at, you know, the situations and say, how did we drop the ball? Because these are our kids, you know. Even the behaviors, just driving through the neighborhood and the community, you know, my mind just kind of went to, you know, driving while you're driving and you have these speed bumps in the street. And, you know, they're really annoying. Some of them are, you know, have every block have them. And I was like, well, why do we have to go through this? Why do we have to go through having speed bumps in the streets? Because we have raised a generation of kids that don't know how to behave. And they drive too fast. These are our kids. Our kids' kids. We did this. We did this. And so now we have to be subject to, you know, speed bumps. Stuff that'll stop you. Things that'll stop you. because I know you guys can remember and the difference when we were kids and coming up. When we were in the street and played, you know, games and things, the cars, they it wasn't as many cars, but they respected, and they would go another way if they saw us playing in the streets, but they wouldn't speed up if they saw us, you know. So we got some real different times, and, you know, our parents, they were responsible, and they took responsibility for our behaviors, you know. They watched out what they said and what they did in front of us. And I'm talking about this because it's like what I'm seeing now, and I'm just observing just the little people. You know, we know they're sponges, and we are the ones that condition their behavior by what we do and what we say in front of them. So if we're like, you know, causing, you know, cursing and fighting in public and slapping on each other and just being, even being promiscuous in front of our little ones, then we're teaching and shaping them, you know. We're shaping their personality, their attitude, and just basically setting them up for failure, because wherever they go, I'm seeing it now. It's like, okay, the reason that we have so many young people behaviors are bad and are challenging and different, and they're going through all these behavior issues because, you know, we see adults that go places and they show out in everywhere they go. You know, it's always a problem. It's always an issue. And they don't know how to act when they go out in public, public places, and around other people. And so most of the time they have little people with them. And so the little people see them, you know, acting like this. And this is how they grow up. And this is how this problem persists. This is how these problems come about. And so, you know, and you're really setting your kids up, and you're setting yourself up, because then you're going to find yourself at the school every day with these young people, the little ones, you know, and it's just going to hurt you, because, you know, if you're doing these things in front of them and teaching them, because most of the things that they see is learned behavior when they grow up. You know, if a little boy or girl witnesses or sees his dad and mom hitting each other and fighting one another and cursing and disrespecting each other in public and private, you know, with no control, what will that little one do? I see them doing it now, right now. They're fighting, they're hitting, and that's what they're learning. They're not seeing us loving each other. They're not seeing us loving each other. And so there goes, you know, the problems that we're having, like, right now, today. Not enough love. So we just be mindful. And, you know, we can't be afraid to give some of these young parents advice, a little advice, you know. Just take some time out and just have a conversation with them and let them know what can happen, what they're setting themselves up for, what they're setting their babies up for. And they don't have that many choices when they grow up and they can't control themselves or behave in public. It don't give them a lot of options. So you have to be real with these young adults and say, hey, pull them aside. Can I talk to you? I see how you're doing this and that, you know. We might think they're not listening, but they're listening. Mm-hmm. You have to let them know we got to keep these kids busy. We got to keep these babies busy. You have to invest now, because if you invest now, the investment is now. Later, it becomes a problem. So it's important to invest in our children, because we're either going to pay now or we're going to pay later. Yeah. So if we invest and put that quality time in now, support what, you know, support what will be a positive outcome, because we know all about the negative outcomes that can happen when we are not, you know, prepared and we don't pay and invest in our youth now. If we are teachers, that scripture said, if you're a teacher, teach well. Teach well. If you took that responsibility to teach our kids, then teach them. Give them all that you could give them, all that you could give them. And if you do your best, then you cannot be held accountable for not doing your best. If you did your best and you know you did your best, then you would not be held accountable. But we all have to be responsible, and we will be held accountable if we don't do our best, if we don't try. Okay? So that's a lot we can do to help our youth to be able to make it in this world. You know, are we sharing this broadcast? Are we emailing, texting, and calling others about Bring Back the Family? Are we sharing it and letting people know that they have some good information on Bring Back the Family? The flyer I send you, send it out to some, you know, to your friends. Everybody know 10, 20 people. We call and tell them everything else, but are we telling them about what we're trying to do? Because if you guys want to see some improvement, you want to see this world get better, you want things better for your own kids, your grandkids, the kids' kids, and the next generation to come, if you want things to change and want to be able to keep your kids safe and the next your kids' kids safe, then we're going to have to get this rolling. It's not about me. It's about these kids and the next generation being able to make it in this world, okay? It's about them. And so it will show, you know, you just have to share this broadcast and the way that we plan to help our youth through Bring Back the Family. And you, it's block by block. Do something on your block that can help these youth. If you see something that they need, make sure they have, you know, something, some techniques that'll help them to learn, help them to get what it is that they need, whatever it is that you could share on your block, share it with them. Whether it's books, some workbooks. Dollar Tree has all kind of workbooks that we could take out and give to the kids on our block. It might be two kids on your block. Invest in them any way that you can. Any way that you can. Encourage them. Show them some love. Let them know that we expect, you know, we have high expectations of them. You know, some things that we could do on our block, start a book club. Have a career fair, or what you're going to be fair, what you're going to be when you grow up. Our babies need to hear that we expect them to go to college. We expect them to be able to work. We expect them to be able to take on a career, because there's a lot of them out here now, and it's all kind of opportunities out here now for our people, our kids, to get jobs that they weren't able to get before. And so we have to really care about what's going on in this world so that we can stop hearing about all this bad news, crime, and our kids doing these things that's not good. And they'll be more interested in things of to help themselves versus those negative things that they're being involved in. We don't want to have to show them the way. We have to show them the way. Because if we don't show them, somebody else is going to show them a different way that we don't want. It's important to take them to church so that they can. That will help with their behavior, because they would know how to sit and, you know, church etiquette and what we teach them. You know, that'll get them off the streets and that'll get them prepared, because they need God in their life to be able to just navigate through this life. They need that. And so whatever you were given in the realm of education and in the realm of Christian education, spiritual education, give it to the youth. Give it to them. I mean, just showing love is recognizing God, just showing them love and kindness. All those things help. Okay? So we are going to open up the lines. If anybody want to participate in the conversation, we have a special guest this morning. Not this morning. We have a special guest this evening, and we're going to let Miss Jackie do the honors of introducing her. And we're going to just talk about what's going on in our communities and what we could do this summer with our kids, with our youth, you know, because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. This world will not get any better if we just let it be. We have to change this world, just you and me, and give a youth a vision that has no vision, okay? Give a youth a vision that has no vision. They have no idea of what to do. Show them what to do. We're all in this thing together. We are all in this thing together. Okay, so without further ado, we can't wait to hear about our speaker for today. I know that she is a dynamic person. So, Miss Jackie,
you can do the honors. Thank you. You know, when we Google famous activists, the names come up, they get Marsha, Julian Bond, Martin Luther King. And, you know, as I went through and was looking at this, and I said, there were certain names that never, they were famous, but they never, most of us never knew that Norman Rockwell took a stand with his paintings to fight. He showed the civil rights movement through his paintings. So that gave me a reason to come up with the unsung heroes in our community. And our unsung hero in our community is known by today a young lady by the name of Teresa Lanville. Now, when we hear famous activists, we think of these people. But when senior citizens need somebody to call, they call Teresa Landry. When people's lights go out or they're having a problem, they think about Teresa Landry. Not only, you know why they think about her? Because she gets the job done. See, she's one of those people like Kathy Clyburn is still tired, but yet and still, say, well, I got to get the job done because this person is suffering. We had a senior citizen not too long ago, basement flooded, wind up receiving a ticket for $1,000 because she's a senior citizen and people couldn't put the stuff out or clean her house out but on a certain day. So they put the stuff out for her and they gave her a $1,000 ticket. Who did she call? She called Teresa Landrieu. Well, Teresa Landrieu got on the horn, when I said a horn, on the phone, and got the job done. Helped this lady not to have to pay that $1,000 ticket. So when we look at crucial work, she's out there on the front line. Environmental issues, she's on the front line. At 6 o'clock in the morning picking up food for senior citizens, she's on the line, because before the COVID came, I was out there with her, so I know some of the work that she was doing. I know when she go before city council because I was right there with her. I know when we put together the list of the blight in the neighborhood because she had orchestrated and recruited a small team. to get to take the pictures of houses that was blight, community dumping, extra dumping in your neighborhood. She was there to fight, sitting before city council and the mayor. I know she did it because I was right there by her. She helped youth with the summer, teaching them how to work for politicians, early in the morning getting flyers out. I know she did because I was right there with her. Always a helping hand. Some of the things that I wasn't with her, and I would hear about it later that she's doing. I'm not able to do out there, be out there with her now, but she's still out there. This person's name is Teresa Landrum. She might not be a famous person in every book in around the world, but our unsung hero for our community is none other than Teresa Landrum. And I'm going to turn the mic over to Teresa Landrum. And I don't think I gave her a full justice of all that she does, but you will hear some of the things from me, but you'll hear most of the things from her. Teresa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, well, good evening, Jackie, and good evening, Kathy, and thank you for the invitation to speak once again. And I appreciate that beautiful accolade that you gave Jackie, but I'm not an unsung hero. I'm just a resident that's concerned about how to better our communities and our lives. I want to say to the listening public that it takes everybody has gifts. God has blessed us each with a gift. We just have to be fine with that gift is and accept it as our purpose that he has placed upon us. And so I try to do what I can for the community too, because I live here. I love my community. And who does not want to put some good things in the place they love? We know that the history of Southwest Detroit, 482 and 7, Ecorse and River Rouge, we have a rich history. We help create the black middle class that what it is today, because we lived in the outskirts of the city. We're not allowed to move into the city. Our doorway really into the city came during the 1967 riots when we had the riots that lasted for 9 days, and when we had white flight of all the businesses. And then they moved out to the suburbs, which were at that time the Golden Corridors. And so we were then had the opportunity to move into areas like Rosedale Park, Indian Village, Edison District, East English Village right now, which in most of those areas are predominantly black. However, in latter years, we have seen the gentrification occurring. Whites are moving back into the city because the attraction is that the city is doing, the city administration of Detroit, is they're courting the whites to move back into the city. In fact, they had a program where they actually gave incentives up to $25,000 for outsiders, and I mean outside our area, to move back into the city. Many of the white police officers left when Archer allowed city employees to move out of the area. Well, they gave out $25,000 incentives and gave them low-cost homes that were in more of the more affluent areas. Jackie and I did a bus tour, and we went over to East English Village. We went over to those areas, and when we said, well, we want to purchase over there, they were selling the houses as low as $65,000. And when we said we would like an application, they said, where do you live at? We said, we live in Detroit. Well, it's not for you, because they were looking to court the 15% or 20 to 30% white people that had interest in moving back into the city. So that's why I fight for our community. I fight for our home rule. I fight for our home rights to live and thrive in the city of Detroit as homeowners and taxpayers. Well, I'm just here today to share some good news. And that good news is that back in starting in January, we had the opportunity to be part of a nationwide program, and that was called Why is Clean Air Important? We decided to focus on our youth because our youth are our future. And we have more years behind us than we do at our age, the baby boomers, than we do ahead of us. So when we fight for clean air, when we fight for clean water, when we fight for clean soil, we're fighting for our children and our grandchildren to have a clean, safe environment to live in. Well, we were part of the Why is Clean Air Important campaign, and we actually garnered over 60 youth that wrote a letter to our United States EPA Director, Michael Regan, on the National Ambient Air Quality Standard rule to ask him to strengthen the rule, because our triple cities, Ecorse, River Ridge, and Southwest Detroit, has been long plagued with pollution because of the overabundance of industry. And with that being said, that means our air is polluted and it's harming our health. Many of our children are being born with asthma, and I said that on a previous show. Asthma is not normal. Children having asthma is not normal. It comes from the impact of the environment because they have been allowed to pollute for so long because of weak rules. We did with the campaign for Why is Clean Air Important. We had the children write it from their perspective. And some of the letters the children said, clean air is important because my mom has asthma. Many days she is sick, and she has to use an inhaler to breathe. And we had one young lady write a letter. She said, my little brother has asthma, and he's in the hospital all the time. So these are the type of personal stories that we presented to the United States EPA for them to strengthen the National Ambient Air Quality Rule, because Southwest Detroit, Ecorse, and River Rouge, and Lower Wayne County are areas that have been in non-attainment for many, many years for sulfur dioxide, SO2, and for ground-level ozone. That's the bad ozone. And ground-level ozone comes because we have a lot of truck traffic. And truck traffic contributes to about 60 to 70% of our greenhouse gases that are fueling climate change. So I'm very proud to say our youth of Ecorse, River Ridge, and Southwest Detroit submitted over 60 letters. We are now honor them with a youth appreciation dinner at Kimmeny Recreation Center on Wednesday, May the 17th, 5 to 6 p.m. All the youth that wrote a letter, we're going to give them a stipend as well as give them a raffle ticket and a dinner, a meal, not pizza, just pizza. We're going to have salad. We're going to have chicken. We're going to have spaghetti. We're going to have beverages. We're going to have pizza, because a lot of kids don't eat, we're not just giving them pizza. Let them survive on pizza. To show them that we appreciate them, to show them that their concern about their environment is valued. And we want to put our value in our children. So that's one of the things I just wanted to tell you about today. Also, there's a program, and it's called Neighbors Helping Neighbors. And it is coming from the point of helping seniors that have backyard overgrowth. And in that program, Marathon employees, and I know I said Marathon, and, you know, Marathon is one of the industries that we often go up against in hearings, and when they want to add more pollution, or when they want to, or when they have an, but we learned over the years the adversarial role was not good for us. So we're trying to make inroads to be able to coexist with industry, and they are offering this program to help seniors, and it starts June 24th, and it's going to last up to November the 1st, and people can apply to have. A senior can apply to have weed removal, tree removal, grass cutting, small tree removal now, grass cutting, trash removed, overgrown brush and small trees, as I just mentioned, removed. They can have one grass cutting for the season. And I know that this is will be their third year. Last year they helped a neighbor down the street who's in a wheelchair, two of them, and they were able to clean out their backyard, cut their yard, and de-weed their yard, and also go behind their house where people had been dumping and removing the trash so the resident wouldn't get a $3,000 blight ticket. And right now the city is doing a concerted effort to go around to each district and give out a blight ticket. And I know, because I just got a blight ticket, and they said that if I don't pay, they're going to garnish my wages or my retirement. And so I'm one of the seniors that has had a challenge with being able to keep up property that I own from the bushes and the trees and things like that. So that's a good program. And you can, the listeners can call 313-297-6228. And I'll repeat it again, 313-297-6280. And that is directly to Marathon and to the community relations person that is handling the program. I do know there's a limited list, so first come, first serve. So I ask you guys to, you know, if you need help or know anybody need help and you are a senior or a shut-in or somebody with a disability, you can call that number and reserve your space. Also, I wanted to talk about the city is having a concerted effort to create what they call tree canopies. So they're talking about planting this year alone 10,000 trees. 10,000 trees. This is to offset the pollution because, you know, vegetation, it helps the environment. And vegetation often is used as buffers between industry and residents or buffers around the highways to offset the roadside pollution that comes from cars and trucks. So that program is being put back into place this year again, and it's happening at the Wayne State Center for Urban Studies, and you have to reach out to Ramona Washington. But there's a number you can call to inquire to see how if you want, or see if you want trees to be planted. You can ask what type of trees, because I know a lot of people don't want to deal with trees because they're worried about the roots entangling their plumbing and causing them, harm to the plumbing. Then they have an expense to try to have the backyard or the front yard dug up to get the tree roots off their plumbing pipes. Well, you can ask, are these the short root trees where they do not go deep enough to interfere with your piping? And from my understanding, they have such trees. The trees' roots go wide. They don't go deep. So you can call 297-6135, area code 313, 313-297-6135, and ask for Ms. Brianna Lockhart. And that's being, as I mentioned, done by Wayne State Center for Urban Studies. Also, the Rec Department, the City of Detroit, has got an outright hiring blitz, and it says work for the Recreation Department. They're looking for lifeguards. They're looking for people to give youth swim lessons. Seniors can get swim lessons, and they want people to apply. You can apply and be possibly located at a center near your home, so you don't have to drive a far distance. And they're looking for lifeguards. They're looking for locker room attendants. They're looking for play leaders, people to help with the programs like soccer and tiny tennis and T-ball, to help at the with the programs at the rec center. So May 18th, noon to 3 p.m. at Kimmeny Recreation Center, they will be having a hiring workforce hiring fair at to increase their workforce at Kimmeny Recreation Center. Thursday, May 18th, noon to 3 p.m. And so they're paying as low as a starting salary is at $15 an hour for the lifeguards, the locker room attendants, the play leaders, and junior lifeguards. And so we often hear that black people are afraid of water. It's not that we're afraid of water. We just don't have access. And as many people know, what they did years ago when they closed Kimmeny to renovate Kimmeny, the city paved over our pool. And we talked to the city and we said, we need a swimming pool. And they said, well, we're not in the pool business. But guess what we found out? The city of Detroit is building a new recreation center in another part of the city. And they're having a pool. So what does that tell you? It tells you that we're overlooked for a lot of things. So we need people to participate. and to learn how to swim. And so we're going to still continue to advocate for a swimming pool at Kimmeny. So also they have another program, Marathon and the, the City of Detroit. They're hiring youth from the ages of 14 to 24. I don't have that flyer with me right now, but it ends sometime in May. If I have the information, I'll share with Kathy and Jackie so that they can pass it on to the listening audience. But they're actually employing youth. It's called Grow Young Detroit Talent. So you can go to GYDT.org, Grow Young Detroit Talent. Google it if that's not the right website. But there's programs around to offer our youth opportunities to learn, gain real working skills. You know, our children are not often able to go have an employment at 14 and 16, and this is the opportunity for kids to learn how to operate in a job setting. And so I'm trying to see what the It's GDYT.org, Grow Detroit's Young Talent. And they have a hiring blitz for young people. You can go to that website from 14 to 24. They're actually paying them, from my understanding, $15 as well. And I think the pay can go up as high as $17.50. So please go to that website. Is https://gdty.org, Grow Detroit's Young Talent. And so I am happy to say that I have submitted some applications for some youths in 48217, and they put that they would like to work at Kimmeny Recreation Center. So I got my fingers crossed and the prayers up in the air that the youth from 48217 I employed at Kimmeny, and they can walk to their job. So Jackie and Kathy, I want to say thank you for allowing me to talk today to your listening audience, and I hope that the information I have shared has been very helpful. But I have an addition to what happened. I was blessed. God gave me grace. The President of the United States just recently signed the executive order to advance environmental justice in all federal agencies. That means the government must address environmental racism. They must address systemic racism from the federal agencies that govern over us and create the policies and laws and statutes that govern and regulate industry. And so I had the opportunity to have a special invite, and I was flown into Washington, D.C. to witness this historic event. The President of the United States actually signed an executive order to advance environmental justice in all federal agencies. And as we know, laws were instituted during Jim Crow by the federal government where blacks could not go to certain areas and buy a home, or blacks were redlined to areas that were so undesirable to live in with flooding and air pollution around industries that pollute, and they were having fallout and all those things. And we can connect a lot of the chronic illnesses that we have. It can be directly connected to lung cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer, and the such. So with the President of the United States signing this executive order, it is a step forward to rectify the damage that has been done to black communities that have experienced serious challenges with poor air quality, poor water quality, and contaminated soil. And so with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Jackie and to Kathy. And if there's any questions, I'm here to answer any questions if you think that I have something that would be of value to you. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you so much. Miss Teresa, thank you so much. Always informative. If anybody want to ask a question, you could press 1 and you could, you know, do so. I'll open up your mic and you'll be able to ask a question of Miss Landrum. Hardest working woman in the community. Love it. We need more people like her to step up and just, you know, just do it. Like my daddy say, be like Nike. So if you want to ask a question, feel free. I will open up your mic. And she's there to listen. Okay, 2645, you have a question?
I don't have a question. I just want to say, my phone about to die too, but I just want to give it up to Miss Kathy. I'm a neighbor. I watched her and her family, her brothers, all good people. They always cared about community. Because when I first moved even on the block and I met her brother, at that present time I was a single parent raising 2 boys by myself. He didn't have to do this. He just went and he bought my son some gym shoes. And he didn't have to do it. Wasn't nothing tied to it or nothing. Just good people. Miss Kathy, I remember when she, I didn't even know her. Just moved on the block. She was like, hey, what them boys over there doing? I said, what you talking about? What they doing? What you got them doing? What kind of activities they got? She helped me to put my boys in activities that I knew no way of doing or anything. Like I said, I was a single parent, raising 2 boys. Helped me put my boys in football. And they was good football players. They was good football players. And I just want to thank her for that. A lot of other things that she's doing on the block. She always looking out for everybody on the block. It ain't just the kids. She look out for the adults. She look out for everybody. I remember the time when I first moved over here, our block wasn't full. We had block where some houses had been on fire. And one of her wishes, I didn't even say wish, she said, well, she did start with, she said, I wish these houses was, all the houses on the block was together. And now, we don't have no blight on our block. We got all our houses is filled. The people moved in and worked on their houses and everything. It's just a beautiful thing. I'm glad to be on this block. We don't have no problems on the block and nothing like that. Everybody get along. All our neighbors, we all know each other. We all look out for each other. We just started having block events in the last few years. And it's a good thing. The kids always, Miss Kathy, always doing stuff. The kids say, like, just about every day, they always over the house all the time. Kids get out of school. I don't know if they're doing their homework at it. I don't know what. But I know they go see Miss Kathy all the time. So I just want to give it up to Miss Kathy. My son, sometimes he's grown up. Sometimes he go there and knock on the door just to check on it. So, yeah. That's it. That's all I want.
No, thanks, OC. Yeah, they come over and give me a big old hug and just, you know, make sure I'm breathing over here. So that's cool that somebody think about you and come and see you. Yeah, it's good having you on the block. You know, it's always good to have a good neighbor. And somebody you could depend on. So, yeah, and you as well is very helpful on the block when we do our events. You're right there chipping in. And that's how, you know, neighbors are supposed to do. And that's what we did back in the day. So neighborly and everybody's supposed to know one another. And that's what community is all about. Yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just going to keep on trying. You know, I it makes me cry sometimes just to know all the work that's ahead, you know, but we have to keep going and we have to keep doing it. You know, we just have to keep doing it. We can't stop and help whoever we can help. We can help. Just help them.
I want to apologize to you. I always get a chance to listen to the show. Because I'm doing so much, I want to set it up so I can show some of the kids, you know, what I do and what it is. Because you know, you know, that child can take it to a whole nother level that, that you never even thought of. So, you know,
you should
Go ahead. Eventually, once I get everything situated, I want to show some of the kids about strength training and all that type of stuff and, the, you know, the TV station stuff and all that stuff. So it's coming. It's coming because I want to show them because at the same time they're going to be learning. But they'll be helping at the same time, but learn at the same time, be able to take some of the knowledge with them and all that. And just do, you know, go to another level with it because it costs a lot of money to go to school for it. But once you got it and you go to school for it, you'll win right through it because you learned it as a youth. But that was
good. Yeah, that's what it's about. That's what it's about, sharing what you have. Why don't you tell everybody what you do? You say you do the screen printing. What is that, like T-shirts?
Yeah, screen printing is T-shirt printing. It's pretty much like you're using a screen, and you have to burn the design inside the screen. I'm plugging my phone up. You have to burn the image into the screen, and once you got it, the image in there, you have to add the paint. It's like a process. You add the paint on the screen, and you have to use a squeezy to push the paint through the screen. And once you do that, and it's on the shirt, it's applied to the shirt, you have to send it to the flasher. The flasher is like taking a picture. It's like taking a picture, but what the flasher does, it keeps the paint inside the shirt so then it won't run out when you wash it in the machine. So that's the part of it. And you take it after you flash it, you throw it on the conveyor belt dryer to dry the shirt.
Yeah, you have a lot of different talents, OC, and that's great. And you and that's good that you could, you know, show the kids and give them something to look forward to, because you never know what they might, you know, what their interests are. Because you do DJing podcast, screen, something like that. Is it podcast? Because we're going to do one. We're going to start doing the Bring Back the Family.
We almost there. Almost. Couple to be there, but we almost there. I'm actually building a screening service right now. Screen. Oh, I can't get the word. You know, like Netflix. I'm building a service like that right now, and I'm also working on the social network site. You know, the one I told you, the Gospel House Radio. It's there, but it's still under construction. To get there, to actually make your page, you type in GH Radio, ghradio.me.com. That's the platform that I'm going to be using for the podcast that I'm going to be running here, but I'm still going to have the other one, the Winners Cup podcast, so I'm still going to have that. But I'm doing this on something else. So that's
okay. One day you could come on and tell us about all you do once you get it all together, and you know, maybe we can have some of the youth come over and set up something on the block where we can let them learn. You know, look and learn.
We're gonna do it.
Yeah.
I'm actually gonna let them. Some kids. I'm letting them get behind the cameras and all of that. Put the headphones on and all that stuff. Talk to them and show them how to zoom in, zoom out, and all that. Just let them produce a whole show. All
right. Well, good deal. It sounds like something to look forward to. Because our kids should be in show business too. They need to know how to act and sing and direct and produce and all those things. So, yeah, our kids need, you know, we got to catch up.
You know what made me want to do it? Because, you know, I come from up under Bean Bowles. I don't know if you guys know who that is. Bean Bowles was the driver of for the Motown Review. I'm going to have him. I'm going to have his son on my show, which is Dennis Brooks. Dean Brooks. He passed away some years ago, a few years ago. And I came from up under Kim Weston. I don't know if y'all know who Kim Weston is. She sung with she sung with a song with Marvin Gaye on Motown. I just had a chance in my life to meet and be up under a few of the greats of Motown. And I ended up finding them back in the day when Coleman Young was in office. He gave Kim Weston the go-ahead, and they had got the grant to work with the youth. And it was only a few of us that they took to, and I was one of the ones that they took to. And I always kept in touch with some of them, and some of them expired, but I still deal with their children that's still living. And I just thank God for that, because if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have had the chance to really enter into the music business when I was into the music business. So I thank God for that.
Okay.
And the teachings that they gave me, you know, it was priceless. To learn about staging, to learn about fashion, clothes. This is why I do so much, because I was right there, and you had the lady that made the clothes for Motown, did all the designs and all that stuff. I met her in my life, and that was a great thing to see how that engine was actually running, how Motown was actually running. Barry Gordy had all these things in place, but the only thing we see is the artist on the stage. We don't see the artist development where they teach them how to talk in front of the camera, where they teach them how to walk, how they teach them how to hold their hands when they're sick or on camera. All of that. I had a chance to do all of that in my life. But what good is it if I don't get none of it back? You follow what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, that's beautiful. Right. So we're going to make sure you give some of it back.
Right.
Especially on our block. Our kids are busy, and they really want to learn how to do some things. They really, you know, we go into the, have our book club that we participate in on Saturdays, and we go they call her Big Mama, but her name is Caroline Land. My mind is just not functioning. I can't think. Huh?
It's okay to come right to you.
Yeah. And so we participate in that book club. It's called the Cool Kids Book Club. And they have such a good time. They can't wait to go every Saturday. And they read the books. And she's just really, really good with them and reading through those books and making them understand. They take notes and things like that. And she give them homework assignments. And then we do activities. And then we eat. And then we play games. And just really have a good time. So I suggest people, you know, if you're listening, to form a book club on your block. That's something real simple, you know, just get some books and read with the kids, let them take turns reading and have some food for them and play some games after they get finished reading, you know. And because that's what we do, we really have a good time. We do it for about two and a half hours, and then we're going to integrate activities with that, like go skating, bowling, and long as they do their reading assignments, and everybody gets a chance to read. And, you know, that'll give them a love for reading. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that we can, you know, that people could do this summer to keep their youth busy and just get them on back on track with reading, you know, because if you could read, you could write, you know. Those things go hand in hand. Yeah, so OC, you need to come on the show one day and just have your own hour and talk about all that you do, and when you get everything together, you know, and then we can support that. Support that, what you do. Mm-hmm. And yes. Thank you for all that you do. And thank you for those compliments. I do take hats off to my brother because he has really been, actually all my brothers, but this one in particular, he really raised his three sons, and he trained them, and he has a basketball camp that he does out at the Romulus Rec Center. And he, you know, he's really, really, you know, the parents just love him, and the kids are really involved. And, you know, it's basketball is not everything, but it's something. And it could get you a scholarship. It'll keep you in shape. It'll learn, teach you discipline, because he don't play with them. And they all respect him, and it gives them it's something to do. It keeps them off the street. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It also saved lives, because if I didn't have music when I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I would be here. If it wasn't for Kim Weston and all of them people stepping into my life the way they stepped into my life, I don't know, because Detroit back then, it was something else when I was coming up. But I thank mm-hmm. God for that program. And I thank mm-hmm. God for all the knowledge that I gained from that program, because it helped me inside my career when I was doing music acting.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me in my career because I was taught by some of the best. I was taught by some of the best that was in our city, that from right here, that had went all over the country and all in other countries and all that. I was taught by them people. So
mm-hmm.
I think for that, and yeah, we have to give back to you, because we don't give back to the youth. Yeah, what do we expect? That's why I enjoy working in the school. When I do have a chance to talk to some children, some listen, some don't, but a lot of them do listen, and I talk to them about their future. You know, I say, hey, look, you're in the eighth grade now, you got four more years.
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking about what you want to do?
It goes fast.
Yeah.
It goes
yeah.
fast. It does. It goes fast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yes. Thank you for that, Mr. O.C. Keep calling.
Yeah.
Keep telling people about Bring Back the Family. We appreciate you as a man that raised young men. You did a good job when they, you did a good job. When they go out in public, they know how to behave themselves. They know how to act. They're very respectful young men. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
So thank you for that. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Anyone else that wants to have a word, you can just press 1. And we still have Miss Landrum on the line if you want to ask her a question. Yeah, we just want to, you know. Mm-hmm.
You guys, I'm still going to be listening. I got to feed my baby.
Okay. Okay, good deal. Thanks for calling in. Continue to call in and just tell somebody else about Bring Back the Family, okay? Thanks, O.C.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Miss Kathy?
Uh-huh.
Miss Landrum has some more information she want to share.
Oh, good deal. She's still on. Shoot away. Hey, Miss
Thank
Landrum.
You, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, how are you? Thank you, Kathy and Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
I know
mm-hmm.
that we are always caught, we have been so caught up in our everyday lives, you know, just fighting to keep our lights on, fighting to keep our rent paid and gas in our car and food on our table, and many of our residents don't get involved in politics. And we know that laws and policies and statutes are being made that impact us on a daily basis. So this month is lobby month. Starting from the 9th of May all the way to the end of May, groups of organizations and individuals are going to Lansing to lobby our legislatures. And in that respect means that we want to tell them our issue and make an ask. In other words, I'm going to lobby my state representative and other state representatives for greenhouse gas reduction, shutting down the coal-powered plant, and like DTE, they can and suggest solutions and alternatives that we can move away from fossil fuel consumption, because fossil fuel is, as I mentioned before, one of the main things that fuel climate change. And you know what climate change is about if you've been listening. We have a extreme amount of flooding, extreme amount of tornadoes and hurricanes happening, not only in the United States, across the world, because of the destruction of the ozone and the pollution that is really working against Mother Nature. So I'm one of the people that's going to go, and we're going to lobby for reduction of greenhouse gases from the surrounding industry. We're going to lobby for alternative fuel uses like wind and solar and water, hydro, creation of power. We have people that don't fly or drive, and they're using soybean and corn oil, petroleum that's created. I call it petroleum, but anything is oil that fuels the car. It's the gasoline. They're talking about doing electric vehicles, EV. We're really making a concerted effort to move away from the greenhouse gases that are produced by burning coal and using other fossil fuels that are harmful to health. And so Lobby Week, the 9th, the 23rd, the 17th, the 19th, you have these different organizations going to Lansing and lobby. And I will be one of those to go to Lansing on the 9th to lobby for our right for clean water, for our water to be free of pollutants like lead, mercury, chromium, and PFAS. Then going back on the 23rd to advocate for clean air, pollution reduction. Then going back on another day to talk to different legislatures for them to support stronger laws and rules to govern our industries that have gotten away with it for so long. Also, on the political side, we just have a newly elected congressperson, and many people don't even know who he is, Sri Tanadar. So I'm setting up a meet and greet at Kimmeny Recreation Center for late June. We're looking at June 28th, Wednesday, Kimmeny Center. We're looking at hosting Congressman Sri Tanadar, so people can and can come and talk to him, for him to get to know them and they for them to get to know him and him to know us, because after all, he's representing us in Congress, and the budgets and everything impact us. Where does the money go? How do they regulate industry? That's very important for communities like Ecorse, Southwest Detroit, and River Rouge, because we have a huge pollution problem. And I think that our legislatures should hear from us. I had a conversation with State Representative Tyrone Carter today about the aggregate mining bill that he sponsored. And I just told him how I felt. That's a bad bill. And he asked me, why, Teresa? Why is it a bad bill? He's co-sponsored a bill with two other state representatives, Angela Whitworth and Paul Altman. One is Mr. Altman is a Republican, and Ms. Whitworth is a Democrat. And what that is talking about is talking about them mining aggregates. That means silica. Silica is a dangerous dust when it's free that gets into your lung and causes cancer. So I'm going to lobby against them allowing the quarries to have control and not allow local government to have control of a quarry that's located in their backyard. The aggregate mining bill would give control to the quarry operators. They can open up anywhere. And some of the quarries they want to open up are along our coastal lines. What's along our coastal lines? Our Great Lakes. What are our Great Lakes to us? They are the world's, two-thirds of the world's fresh water. We have the largest fresh water system in the world, which services the United States and Canada. More than 86 million people use our Great Lakes as a water source. And if those quarries are allowed to operate, it could destroy our waterway. So I'm going to, I talked to Representative Tyrone Carter about it because I expressed to him the dangers so that he can become aware. Because our legislators need education as well as our residents. I'm doing a series of educationals. We have one coming up on May the 18th at Kimmeny Recreation Center, where we're going to talk to the state, that's our Environmental Great Lakes and Energy Department, which sets our regulations and rules and policies that they say they follow from the federal government. I'm having them down to talk to the people about soil, water, and air pollution that is coming from PFAS that is being found in heavy concentrations in our water, our soil, and then in our air. Because the PFAS, it goes to our wastewater treatment plant. There's no process that can get rid of PFAS. We just learned that there's new technology coming out of Britain that says they can remove all PFAS out of the water. And if you know anything about PFAS, PFAS is a dangerous, dangerous man-made chemical. Most of the PFAS that is made is for fire retardants. They're fighting forest fires. One of the biggest users of PFAS products is our United States government. Many of our rural areas are being contaminated with PFAS. They just found this year and last year, two of our dairy farms, all the cattle had high levels of PFAS. So the gentleman cannot sell his milk. He cannot sell his cheese. He cannot sell his cattle meat because it is PFAS contaminated. And they're now trying to decide whether they're going to destroy all his heads of cattle and compensate the man financially. Because if he can't sell his meat, how is he going to feed his family? Because he's one of Michigan farmers. Last year, they found another farm full of PFAS coming from Wolverine Worldwide. It came down in the water source and settled in the watershed, and it went into the crops, which the cows and chickens and sheep and pigs ate the contaminated corn. And now that farm is contaminated. So we have to look at how we're being impacted by pollution. Wow. And so a lot of people don't know that they can call their state representatives. They can call their congresspeople. They can call their state reps. But if they don't know who they are and if they support pollution reduction and PFAS control, what we may have when we hear about listeria and others, the E. coli. So we have to realize that this impacts our food, too. Not only the water and the land and the soil, our food is grown in soil. What goes up must come down. So we have to become advocates to talk about that. We want safe food for our children, so we have to talk about ways that our food can be produced safely and how we can stop manufacturers from using their industries to pollute, to sell us the products, but yet still endanger our lives. So those are just a couple of things I just wanted to share. Oh, and also in June the 21st through the 22nd here in Detroit at U of D Mercy, we're going to have the Environmental Justice Conference that is being under the auspice of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. And you can go on and say, EJ conference in Detroit in June and Google it. And they have scholarships where people, if you can't pay the registration fee, you can go on and get a scholarship. They will pay for you to go to learn about environmental justice, about pollution, and about how it impacts you. So those are some of the things we're going to have to be aware of because it's impacting our children. It's impacting our mothers, our seniors. You know, our children are being impacted in the womb. There's many, many studies that show exposure to lead while pregnant, that lead damages the fetal brain. Our children are being born, and they're saying, oh, they haven't been raised right, or they're violent or aggressive, behavior problems. No, they have been damaged in the womb by chemicals. So our children are coming here already damaged. So their behavior is already impacted. Right? So if you got a kid that's exposed to lead, they're talking about lead all the time, how it damages you, if you're being impacted in the womb, you're going to come out with children that have challenges and mental illness, they call it, right? No, it's not mental illness. It's pollution damage. You
wow.
know, who's talking to the
That's
pregnant
deep.
Mothers? Yeah, well, who's talking to the pregnant mothers that live next to U.S. Steel or live next to Cleveland Cliffs over in Dearborn about lead pollution while they're pregnant, right? Nobody. No, the doctors don't even know. Our doctors are not trained to identify environmentally related diseases. And you know, if a mother is pregnant, she's going to do everything she can to have a healthy birth. We have a high mortality rate out here because of exposure to pollution. So I'm not telling everybody you have to jump up and be a lobbyist or be a politician, visit something every day to read. No, call your legislator when you learn about an issue and you tell them how you feel. I often tell them, like we just had a fire today over in Melvindale. I told my state rep we got a fire over there. I called Environmental Great Lakes and Energy and told them, and they put somebody on the ground, came out, investigated. They didn't see anything because by the time they got from their office to Melvindale over there where near the DTE Allen Park substation, the fire had been put out. So I told the person, go to the police department. The police department was aware of the incident. Find out what happened so we as the public can be informed. It happened late evening, like about 4:45, right? People getting off work at 5 o'clock. So by the time they dispatched the man to come to the ground, he was on his way home. So on his way home, he went by to see if what he could see. Couldn't find anything because it had dissipated by that time. So we have to be our own watchdog.
Wow.
We have to use our eyes, our ears, our noses, and our mouth. When we experience burning in our throat and eyes and stuff like that or irritation, it could be from a fallout that an incident is happening and we don't know about it. And it's our, in my opinion, our duty, our job, to call and inquire. I called the 1-800 number for the Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, and I got a report number to say I reported an incident on Friday, May the 5th in Melvindale, Michigan, a fire. So they're going to have to call me back and find out what happened. They're going to have to call me back and tell me what happened. Also, I want to tell your listeners that a lot of people don't know Ballinger Park in River Rouge off of Ballinger Drive has been shut down for public use. The swing, the picnic area, the toilets, it's been fenced off because of soil
what?
Contamination from lead and chromium and possibly mercury. Guess what? From my understanding, several of the residents told me that they visited the city, well, went to the city council meeting, and they were not told that the park was shut down because of possible soil contamination. I think that's an injustice. So I called the EPA, I talked to Eagle, I talked to Michigan Department of Natural Resources to find out whose jurisdiction it is to notify the public of the danger. Right? And then they said, well, we're going to call the city of River Rouge. We sent them a letter of due care. I said, what is a letter of due care? Oh, we're asking them to do more testing. Right? More testing? No, you know there's a problem. Notify the public that there's a problem. Well, guess what season this is? This is wildlife season. The fish are coming out and attracted to the warm waters, and many of the boaters, the anglers, they're going into the water fishing that fish. They have signs that say do not fish, but they do not have signs saying do not eat the fish, possible contamination. And I think that should be, you know, known to the public. And I went there myself to see if the park was cordoned off. And I went, they had orange barrels, they had the iron down. You couldn't get in about two weeks ago. And then I went back day before yesterday, and guess what? They opened the park up for the anglers to put their boats in the water. But the grass, the picnic area, and around the area where people sit, that's still quartered off with the orange fiberglass fencing. And I'm like, this is just outrageous. And they don't want people to know. That is unfair. The city of River Rouge should be held accountable, as well as the state of Michigan, as well as the EPA, as well as the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. This is a danger. People use that park for picnics, baby showers. We go there to watch the fireworks. You know what I mean? That's their recreational area. And it should be known to the public when there's contamination, right? I was feeling kind kind of happy about them shutting the park down with the barrels and the arms, because I felt that the pavement was contaminated too, because when the water came up, because, you know, we've been having seasonal high water, it's been coming up and filling up in the parking lot. Well, when the water recedes, it leaves what? Sediment. People walking around, they're walking around in that stuff. It is, they're carrying it home. And nobody's saying anything. So dangerous to me to fish and eat the fish, because they're selling the fish to local restaurants and supermarkets, and they're taking it home, giving it to their neighbors, their friends, and feeding it to their family. But nobody's notifying the public. And those are egregious acts that I think that someone should be held accountable for. And we, as residents, we have to also educate ourselves. You know that they're going through the community right now, DTE, with Miller Pipeline, replacing the underground gas lines to people's homes, right? But they're not telling you that if you have a gas stove that you're supposed to crack your window when you cook, because when you cook, that's putting carbon monoxide in your house. And guess what? If you have a faulty stove and you cook in, you can be overcome by carbon monoxide. I have a carbon monoxide detector in my kitchen. I have one in my basement. I have one in my hallway for protection. And nobody's really talking about indoor pollution. Indoor pollution from the things we have in our house, such as paint, such as spray cans of fabric starch, all kind of stuff. So we have to be aware of indoor pollution as well as outdoor pollution. And we're going to do a series of educationals on that to educate the public about the things you can do to mitigate, in other words, get rid of or reduce the harmful pollutants in your home, as well as we work on laws up in Lansing and the EPA lobbying for them to make stronger laws against pollution. So we have to be our own advocates. We have to learn that we have a voice, and we have to use our voice to protect ourselves and our children. So I hope that your listeners can learn from that and want to get involved. It's so easy to get involved. All you got to do is pick up your phone, call your state representative, call your state senator, call your congressperson. And we need to get to know our congressperson. We need to put our issues on the table. Other communities are doing it. Other cultures are doing it. Other ethnicities are doing it. So we as Black people need to become educated on the things that we can do to improve our quality of life.
Now what kind of stove did you say let off carbon dioxide?
Gas stove. Yeah, and President Biden announced about a couple of months ago that he wanted to get rid of gas stoves. And if you then what's the alternative? You have to have an alternative. What's the alternative if we get rid of our gas stove? Is electric stoves the best solution? We need to have those questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, you know, that's a lot of information. And so I think that we need to have more educational meetings, you know, in our community, and involve the kids and the youth in those meetings, so that they can be able to take over one day and learn, you know, all these different leaders that what they do, who they are and what they do, and what are the things that we should be asking, and what are the things that we should know, and who to call.
Right.
So we should start doing that, you know, getting our kids more into the politics. Get a group of kids in the 48217 area and just start getting them involved in the political part of life, so because they're going to go through these same things, so somebody has to be able to take over. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
that's what I'm working on, Kathy. I'm working on a series of workshops. I'm trying to find funding for a series of workshops to be able to hold in community hosted and community run and community led workshops to educate our adults as well as our children. We need to be teaching this to our children as soon as they can talk about things. You know what I mean?
So we want to plan to bring some kids to represent, you know, at the when you have the community forum for Tanadar So we'll bring the kids to represent to
exactly.
So that they can get used to coming to some of these meetings and knowing
exactly.
What they're supposed to be doing as citizens
exactly.
that live in the community. Yeah. Yeah, we
have to realize
and get it started. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to realize who Sri Tanadar is.
Mm-hmm.
He is a millionaire, right? So he
mm-hmm.
said he came here poor. He said he knows about poverty. Well, we need to teach him about not only poverty, but environmental racism that continues the cycle of poverty in Black communities and communities of color.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
So
we got another caller
been...
that has a question,
okay.
too, when you get a chance.
Well, I'm
okay.
done.
Okay.
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Rebecca, did you have anything that you want to say?
Yes,
Ms.
I
Johnson.
Do. I just,
okay.
Mm-hmm. I would like to announce Bring Back the Family's new TikTok channel. So please follow us on Bring Back the Family, spelled out on TikTok, for the latest updates on what Bring Back the Family is doing in the community.
All right. Hey, hats off to that.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is Mother Overall.
Okay, Mother Overall.
Will we get reminders of these meetings that she is talking about? Because I would like to come. Because
okay.
she spoke about a lot of things
mm-hmm.
that I'm a senior, and we don't know. And
but,
she's right. We need to know. And I want to know.
Right. Okay, how are we
so
going to let the seniors know what's going on, Miss Teresa?
Okay.
Miss Teresa?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, every third Thursday of the month, we have the meeting, the original United Citizens of Southwest Detroit, and Miss Overall is a member. We bring this information to the public. We had Mr. Gary Ringer over a month ago come to talk about indoor pollution, about cooking and carbon monoxide. We have people that come in to talk about youth programs and things like that. So every third Thursday at Kennedy Recreation Center at 6 p.m.,
okay.
we have the Original United Citizens meeting where we bring this information to the people. We had our new police commander, Shelley Holderbaum, to introduce herself, because many people in all their life, they lived out here, never knew who their commanders were. Well, for the last few years, I'm going to say more than 20 years, I've known who each police commander of our 4th precinct was, right? Commander
yeah.
Serta, Commander Holderbaum, Commander whomever. I used to know them. I called them when I find out that they're in that space. I call them up and I introduce myself, and then I invite them to the meeting so that they can come, introduce themselves so people can learn and to get to know our police department. Because right now mm-hmm. we have a heavy influx of a lot of the homeless people that are coming in, setting up shop and squatting in homes and causing blight in our community. And we
yes.
just, I took pictures and I'm going to take more pictures. They just cleaned out an encampment on the corner of Electric at Outer Drive, where they
Drive.
Set up shop,
yeah.
and they were living there, and living there, going to beg, then go and take their money and do whatever, criminal activity they're going to do. And we were just wondering, as a community, what could we do to stop it? So we took our pictures, we called, and we got the health department involved, the police involved, and they went and cleaned that corner off. The other day, I took pictures, and now that it's clean, I'm going to go up there and take more pictures and show the people our voices matter. We matter.
Since then, Teresa, they have moved. Well, prior to them doing that, they moved into a house that's the second house off Electric.
I've already given that address. I've already given the pictures, and guess what? They came the other week, cleaned up all
and
their
cleaned up. Yeah.
And then they brought it back. They got shopping
yeah.
carts, and they have lined it up there. Guess what? I'm going to make sure that the pictures get to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't
and
be the only one
coming in.
They are selling drugs. They're bringing in a lot of transients of prostitution.
Yes, they are.
And you can see it blatantly in the daytime. The people are stopping and urinating in public and not even trying to hide behind
buildings. They're using it right there. I've seen them do it several times, and I've called 911 several times.
I have called the police several times about it, and we have a rat problem, a huge rat problem in that area because of all that garbage and what those people are doing.
And guess what? It would not happen in a white neighborhood. You don't see it in Lincoln Park.
Not.
You don't see it in Allen Park. You don't see it in Melvindale. You don't even see it on the other side of Ecor, right?
No.
But when we asked that question, we were given some really shoddy answers, and then we had to call them to the carpet. They said, well, you know, that's their home. We can't tear it down. Then I came back, and I said, okay, you can't tear it down, but you can condemn a house, can you not, if there's no running water? They said, yes. I said, there's no running water, so condemn that house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would they like to have it next to them?
Yes. So you
they wouldn't let it happen
to
them?
Yeah. You said what?
So who is it the people that's coming in?
What do you mean? What you mean?
They're white people.
Drug addicts
homeless people.
Okay. Prostitution coming through there.
Okay.
You can tell.
Go ahead. Is that Janice, Ms. O'Brien speaking?
This is Ms. O'Brien, but it's Marilyn O'Brien, not Janice.
Oh, Marilyn. Okay. Yeah.
And they're talking about the building that's on Liddesdale Drive. I heard a rumor that they want to make a nightclub for young people.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's not going to happen.
And then that building had got raided about a month and a half ago, and they had young girls coming out of there and everything.
They sure did.
It was raided about
2 o'clock in the morning. That's right.
Yes.
They sure did. They sure did.
It's really terrible when we sit on the porch and we see, not that we're prejudiced or anything, but you see all these white folks coming down Liddesdale, going through the alleyway and going directly to their house on Otter Drive.
That's right. And they set up a tent. It's a tent back there now. And so what we have to do, I'm not telling anybody to go out and get themselves in trouble. But you know what? On discreet, low level, take a picture. Text it to the police officer. That's our NPO. Text it to the neighborhood city manager. They have numbers. I give it out every week at the meeting. Every month at the meeting. I give it out over and over. You know what I mean?
I call out the address and everything because we walk by or we drive by, and it's really an eyesore.
Who owns the home? Whose home is it?
Well, I checked the address out. It's privately owned, and I think the person is deceased. And so it takes a while for them to get it off, the road. And then it takes a lot. One house, I went, and it was owned by the Detroit Land Bank, and it had been owned by the Detroit Land Bank for 10 years, and they were a drug house for 10 years. And years ago, read an article. It said the Land Bank owned drug houses. They knew the people were there and never put them out. And so there's a lot of problems with the land bank. But it's up to us to call to be our own advocate. Do it. They have numbers you can call anonymously. Just get those numbers, and when you see something, report it. It's going to take a minute for them to work on it, but it's happening.
Yes. Slowly but surely.
I think as a community that we should be able to probably buy those homes and try to, you know, get somebody in them so that they don't be vacant like that.
Right. And that's the challenge
community.
We face. That's the challenge we face. People may be on a fixed income. They may not have the resources, but we should have a community pool where we can buy our own buy the homes in our community, renovate them, make them a livable space.
Yes.
You know? We have to do something. We have to do something because it's up to us.
Yeah. A lot of people feel that it's not going to make the change, but if you don't be part of the change, how is it going to make a change?
How is it going to change?
All right. Okay, we're going to have to work on that because maybe with the maybe it could be a community house and we could all put our pool, our money together and buy it.
Exactly, and that's what we're going to do. Our Hispanic people, our neighbors are doing it. They're buying two or three houses at a time.
Yeah, that's what we have to start doing.
Almost 9 o'clock, and Ms. Kathy and Ms. Jackie, I thank you guys. I'm going to have to jump off because I have to get up early in the morning and I want to go to bed early.
Okay, well, thank you. Come on back on again. This is a lot of information. We need to break it up some, and it's so many issues and concerns that, you know, that we need to know about. So feel free to come back on the show anytime. Okay?
In order for our neighborhood to be better, we have to help make it better.
Right.
Yes. Thank you, and good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Good night. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, thank you, everybody, for, you know, we went over a little bit, but we still got a little time, and we can, if anybody else have anything else that they want to say, feel free. Thank you, Mother Overall, for your comments.
And Kathy, I don't get to see everything on other streets, but I can see what's happening on this show because I'm home more than what I used to be. And you can see those homeless people walking down the street. They meet at Soliet, meet the drug dealer at Soliet, get their drugs, and then walk back to that house.
Wow.
It's a constant flow. And just like you said, a lot of neighbors are scared to talk and speak up because that particular block, Litter Still Not a Drive, the majority is seniors.
Yeah. Seniors. Okay, well, we're going to have to see what we can do about that.
Ms. Kathy, can I say something? I want you all to know that when we brought it to the attention of the state rep's attention about them building their home in that big bush that was in the center of East Street.
What's the price to get us
Representative Carter. And they went there and they cut down the whole bushes. When it is reported to him, they take action and take those on a tent and they hold down that they are squatting there. So, you know, sometimes is that we have to let people know what's going on, and that is very important because we see it and we talk about it amongst each other. But there are people out there that will get the job done if we bring it to the right people.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know he's in Lansing, but on Mondays and Fridays and the weekends, he's here in the city. And if you have a problem, you could call him, and he will help you and get the job done.
Okay.
Okay?
Monday at the community center? Is it Monday at Kennedy Center?
Not Monday at Kimini Center, no.
Thursday.
He's not in Lansing on Mondays, and he's not in Lansing on Fridays and weekends.
Okay.
Now, he still have a busy schedule, but if you have a problem, those are some of the days that you can talk, because he do have a community forum that he does online with the community. I'll have to get that information for you, that we could talk about that. But I'm just saying that I know for a fact when it was a group of them was living under that big bush, had mattresses and everything.
Oh yeah,
and
they used to live in the garbage dump.
Right, and they went over there and they removed them from there. They cut the whole bush down, but they had no, they no longer could live under there.
Sure did.
So, that's because people reported it to him. But if you don't report it, like Teresa said, if you don't report it, they don't know.
They don't know.
You have some information. Because, say, for instance, Miss Kathy is on the show. But if you have some information to help her to make the show better, like the young man was talking about the videos and different things of that nature, those are the type of things, because maybe that's something that she kind of overlooked, but you could enhance, like she said. When you receive the notice, send it out on your Facebook so other people can recognize it. Like the what Ms. Johnson was speaking about, the TikTok. When you see it, when you share it with other people, then the word gets out. So let's come together as a group and lift our people up. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you don't have a representative in your community, you don't get things done. And for many years, we did not have a representative in this community, says Matthew McNeil.
Yes.
So money, they use your zip code, but they don't bring the money to you. And all of these people there prior, it takes a lot for you to correct their mistakes. And it's only we all have the same 24 hours a day.
Yes,
so we have to lift our people up. Because the day we lose a representative in this community, you can kiss it goodbye.
Amen, yes.
And that's what has been happening to us for a long time.
That's we're going to plan to have that state rep. You're talking about Tyrone Carter. We'll plan to have him on one day, and so that we can know what it is that he can help us with, what should we be asking for, what should we be, you know, doing as a community, how can, you know, we get things done. And, you know, we're going to work on this, shutting that house down. That's going to be our project, to shut that house down. So we're going
to
get on
and
that.
And shutting the house down has to be dealt with the city. Now, the state representative can make phone calls.
There's quite a few ways we can shut it down.
Right.
Because they don't want, you know, we got to make some noise.
Yes.
The state rep can let them know. Make some phone calls. But whoever you put in city council, you have to make sure when you're voting for city council, when you're voting for county commissioner, when you're voting for political offices, are they here to support? What benefits can you have in your community?
Yeah,
and that's one of the things we haven't had for many years, because we didn't have a state representative in our community. We did not have the council person from our community. Okay, and the same way she spoke about the president signing these orders. Well, we have a president had to clean up somebody else's mess up.
Yes.
So they don't become too popular when they got to clean up somebody else's mess up.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We really had a full show today. Next week, Jackie, you want to tell them what we're going to talk about?
Yes, next week is we're going to honoring Miss Kathy said, Kathy, what can we do for Mother's Day week? Well, we're going to honor, have a couple of special guests on the show, Women's Worth. And that is so powerful. And, you know, as we go and talk about it, and I was telling Miss Kathy today, I said, you know, I was looking at different music, and as you look at it, and when you go into Woman's Worth, you'll find out certain people wrote their music based on words out of the Bible. Look at Alicia Keys' album, Woman's Worth. The lyrics came straight from the Bible. So it is going to be an exciting week.
Wow.
I look forward to everybody, and not just women going to be on. We're going to have their husband with them.
Hi, girl.
So,
behind
every good man, there's a woman, whether it's his mother, his sister, his cousin, his wife, his daughter. And behind every good man, every good woman, there's her husband, there's her father, there's her brother, there's her cousin, there's support groups in the community.
Yes.
So, you know, God knew what he was doing when he made Adam and Eve. Okay? So that's all I'm saying about it. But tuning in so you can, we got some fantastic people. And look forward to the announcements. Miss Johnson, the last TikTok I saw of hers, it was outstanding. And I tell you, I can't wait to see your new one, Miss Johnson.
Thank you, Miss Johnson. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Mother Overall. Thank you, Mr. OC. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, everybody that tuned in this evening. Thank you, Googie, my niece that always put my flyers together. She is a godsend. And I just want to thank my brother for listening, Kenny. And this whole show is about God. I just want to thank God for just everything that he does for me, does for you, does for the Bring Back the Family show, because this is all his. And whatever I do, I give glory to God for it, you know, because it's him. It's not me, it's him. And I am glad that, you know, my parents birthed me and God put whatever he put in me. I'm glad he put it in me because, you know, he created. And so I am just so happy. And I just thank God for everything and everybody and all of you guys for listening. And God is working. And we are all in this thing together. And we're going to be together. We're going to show love and respect to one another and share it with the kids and the youth, because it has to be a turnaround. It has to be a turnaround. And I'm just looking forward to seeing that turnaround. So we got a lot of work to do. And after we get off this call, we're going to be putting our thinking caps on and our brain and caps on and figuring out what we're going to do with this problem that we have in our community. And we're going to start going to these meetings and, you know, do something on your block for the youth. Do something on your block for the youth, because they are our future. They're going to be the leaders of the future, and so we have to invest in them. We have to they are our investment, and we have to sacrifice whatever it is that we have to give them what they need to make it, so that they don't have to stay in these areas and smell the pollution and get sick and all that. They could go get their careers and go to school and have what they need to make it and get lost and go anywhere they want to go in this world. Okay, they don't have won't have to stay because they just have to. So, and it's our job to see that they can go.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
They are our fighters for this pollution in the future to help people and get rid of these things that are polluting the air, so that our future descendants would have better fresh air and water.
Yes.
And teach them how to fight the system.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we're going to take our kids with us. Whatever fight we fight, we're going to take the kids with us so they can know how to fight. And so because they're going to have to fight this battle. They're going to have to be the leaders of the future now. Yes, so I'm looking forward to that. And doing some of these meetings and taking the kids to some of these meetings and getting them in, involved in the politics and things like that, because they are our future. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So I got kids at my window right now trying to get in, so I got to go, y'all. It's dark. Look, they outside
my
window.
They're always there and they're not going anywhere.
I'm trying to hide there. Look, I'm coming. Okay, so, all right. We have
knock on our door and find you.
I know. They're everywhere. I'm like, oh, no.
Yes.
Okay, thank everybody. You all be blessed, and we will see you next Friday, same time, same place. Okay, it's kids' time. We got
okay, you can
do it. Let's do it.